Even if you were a private citizen, you surely wouldn't want to seem bigoted while appearing in public. Might there be a way to test for discrimination in a public setting? Unlikely as it may seem, the television game show The Weakest Link provides a unique laboratory to study discrimination. An import from the United Kingdom, The Weakest Link for a short time became wildly popular in the United States. The game includes 8 contestants, or in a later daytime version, 6, who each answer trivia questions and compete for a single cash jackpot. But the player who answers the most questions correctly isn't necessarily the player who advances. After each round, every contestant votes to eliminate one other contestant. A player's trivia answering ability is presumably the only worthwhile factor to consider. Race, gender, and age wouldn't seem to matter. But do they? By measuring a contestant's actual votes against the votes that would truly best serve his self-interest, it's possible to tell if discrimination is at play. The voting strategy changes as the game progresses. In the first several rounds, it makes sense to eliminate bad players, since the jackpot only grows when correct answers are given. In later rounds, the strategic incentives are flipped. The value of building the jackpot is now outweighed by each contestant's desire to win the jackpot. It's easier to do that if you eliminate the other good players. So, roughly speaking, the typical contestant will vote to eliminate the worst players in the early rounds and the better players in the later rounds. The key to measuring the weakest link voting data is to tease out a contestant's playing ability from his race, gender, and age. If a young black man answers a lot of questions correctly but is voted off early, discrimination would seem to be a factor. Meanwhile, if an elderly white woman doesn't answer a single question correctly and is still not voted off, some sort of discriminatory favoritism would seem to be at play. Again, keep in mind that all of this is happening on camera. A contestant knows that his friends, family, and coworkers are watching. So who, if anyone, is discriminated against on The Weakest Link? Not, as it turns out, blacks. An analysis of more than 160 episodes reveals that black contestants, in both the early and late rounds of the game, are eliminated at a rate commensurate with their trivia answering abilities. The same is true for female contestants. In a way, neither of these findings is so surprising. Two of the most potent social campaigns of the past half century were the civil rights movement and the feminist movement, which demonized discrimination against blacks and women, respectively. So perhaps, you say hopefully, discrimination was practically eradicated during the 20th century, like polio. Or more likely, it has become so unfashionable to discriminate against certain groups that all but the most insensitive people take pains to at least appear fair-minded, at least in public. This hardly means that discrimination itself is ended, only that people are embarrassed to show it. How might you determine whether the lack of discrimination against blacks and women represents a true absence or just a charade? The answer can be found by looking at other groups that society doesn't protect as well. Indeed, the weakest link voting data do indicate two kinds of contestants who are consistently discriminated against: the elderly and Hispanics. Among economists, there are two leading theories of discrimination. Interestingly, elderly weakest link contestants seem to suffer from one type of discrimination, while Hispanics suffer the other. The first type is called taste-based discrimination, which means that one person discriminates simply because he prefers to not interact with a particular type of other person. In the second type, known as information-based discrimination, one person believes that another type of person has poor skills and acts accordingly. On The Weakest Link, Hispanics suffer information-based discrimination. Other contestants seem to view the Hispanics as poor players, even when they are not. This perception translates into Hispanics being eliminated in the early rounds, even if they are doing well, and not eliminated in the later rounds, when other contestants want to keep the Hispanics around to weaken the field. Elderly players, meanwhile, are victims of taste-based discrimination. In the early rounds and late rounds, they are eliminated far out of proportion to their skills. It seems as if the other contestants, This is a show on which the average age is 34. Simply don't want the older players around. It's quite possible that a typical Weakest Link contestant isn't even cognizant of his discrimination toward Hispanics and the elderly, or, in the case of blacks and women, his lack of discrimination. He is bound to be nervous, after all, and excited, playing a fast-moving game under the glare of television lights. Which naturally suggests another question. How might that same person express his preferences and reveal information about himself in the privacy of his home? In a given year, some 40 million Americans swap intimate truths about themselves with complete strangers. It all happens on internet dating sites. Some of them, like Match.com, eHarmony.com, and Yahoo Singles, appeal to a broad audience. Others cater to more specific tastes. ChristianSingles.com, JDate.com, LatinMatcher.com, BlackSinglesConnection.com, CountryWesternSingles.com, USMilitarySingles.com, PlusSizeSingles.com, and Gay.com. Dating websites are the most successful subscription-based business on the internet. Each site operates a bit differently, but the gist is this. You compose a personal ad about yourself that typically includes a photo, vital statistics, your income range, level of education, likes and dislikes, and so on. If the ad catches someone's fancy, that someone will email you and perhaps arrange a date. On many sites, you also specify your dating aims. Long-term relationship, or a casual lover, or just looking. So there are two massive layers of data to be mined here. The information that people include in their ads, and the level of response gleaned by any particular ad. Each layer of the data can be asked its own question. In the case of the ads, how forthright and honest are people when it comes to sharing their personal information? And in the case of the responses, what kind of information in personal ads is considered the most, or least, desirable? Two economists and a psychologist recently banded together to address these questions. Ali Hortaksu, Gunther Hitch, and Don Ariely analyzed the data from one of the mainstream dating sites, focusing on roughly 30,000 users, half in Boston and half in San Diego. 57% of the users were men, and the median age range for all users was 26 to 35. Although they represented an adequate racial mix to reach some conclusions about race, they were predominantly white. They were also a lot richer, taller, skinnier, and better looking than average. That, at least, is what they wrote about themselves. More than 4% of the online daters claimed to make over $200,000 a year, whereas fewer than 1% of typical internet users actually earn that much, suggesting that three of the four big earners were exaggerating. Male and female users typically reported that they are about an inch taller than the national average. As for weight, the men were in line with the national average, but the women typically said they weighed about 20 pounds less than the national average. Most impressively, fully 70% of the women claimed, quote, above average looks, including 24% claiming very good looks. The online men, too, were gorgeous. 67% called themselves above average, including 21% with very good looks. This leaves only about 30% of the users with average looks, including a paltry 1% with less than average looks, which suggests that the typical online dater is either a fabulist, a narcissist, or simply resistant to the meaning of average. Or perhaps they are all just realists. As any real estate agent knows, the typical house isn't charming or fantastic, but unless you say it is, no one will even bother to come for a look. 28% of the women on the site said they were blonde, a number far beyond the national average, which indicates a lot of dying or lying or both. Some users, meanwhile, were bracingly honest. 8% of the men, about 1 in every 12, conceded that they were married, with half of these 8% reporting that they were, quote, happily married. But the fact that they were honest doesn't mean they were rash. Of the 258 happily married men in the sample, only 9 chose to post a picture of themselves. The reward of gaining a mistress was evidently outweighed by the risk of having your wife discover your personal ad. And what were you doing on that website, the husband might bluster, undoubtedly to no avail. Of the many ways to fail on a dating website, not posting a photo of yourself is perhaps the most certain. Not that the photo necessarily is a photo of yourself. It may be some better-looking stranger, but such deception would obviously backfire in time. A man who does not include his photo gets only 1/4 the volume of email response of a man who does. A woman who doesn't include her photo gets only 1/6 the response. A low-income, poorly educated, unhappily employed, not very attractive, slightly overweight, and balding man who posts his photo stands a better chance of gleaning some emails than a man who says he makes $200,000 and is deadly handsome but doesn't post a photo. There are plenty of reasons someone might not post a photo. He's technically challenged, or is ashamed of being spotted by friends, or he's just plain unattractive. But as in the case of a brand new car with a for sale sign, prospective customers will assume he's got something seriously wrong under the hood. Getting a date is hard enough as it is. 57% of the men who post ads don't get even one email. 23% of the women don't get a single response. The traits that do draw a big response, meanwhile, will not be a big surprise to anyone with even a passing knowledge of the sexes. In fact, the preferences expressed by online daters fit snugly with the most common stereotypes about men and women.